الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. وقال الإمام الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام: إذا قام القائم نودي في الأرض، لا يبقى أرض إلا نودي فيها شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. صلوات
الله.
The day of Jumu'ah, which is Sayyidul Ayyam, it's the head of all the days of the week, is considered to be the day of the appearance of our 12th Imam. In the Ziyarat we say, وَهَذَا يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ المتوقع فيه ظهورك. This is the day of Jumu'ah in which we expect your appearance, because our 12th Imam is going to appear on a day like this. Some of our scholars in the history, as a matter of preparation for his appearance, they used to wear the dress of fighting, the dress that we wear for in the battlefield, as part of their preparedness for this zuhur. Because the concept of preparedness, concept of zuhur, depends on our preparedness. The concept of intihar and awaiting for the Imam rests on the phenomena of preparedness. People ask me about the signs, you know, for the zuhur of the Imam, and I always reply back to them, to these kinds of queries, that please stop searching for the signs. This is not the right approach. That we as the Ashraful Makhluqat, we as the most superior of all the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are looking for the solar and the lunar eclipse to take place.
Subhanallah.
the solar eclipse is going to happen. It always happens at the end of the month, and it's going to happen in the middle, and the lunar eclipse always takes place in the middle of the month, and it's going to happen on at the end of the month. So Maulana, when is this, you know, is this sign authentic? Is this a genuine sign? Well, please stop looking at the signs, because the sun and the moon never disobeyed Imam Mahdi Alayhi Salaam. Do you think the sun and the moon were the ones who were the odd creatures out there in the universe? They never disobeyed. None of the creatures in the universe disobeyed the wali and the imam of their time, except some of the humans and the jinns. Everything else in the universe is already, by virtue of their creation, that's how Allah created them, custom built obedient existences. That's the Alamut Taqween. We are not talking about the Alamut Tashriq. Every single particle in the universe is custom built to be 100% obedient to the Imam of the time, who is the commander in chief appointed by Allah for the universe. So there is no question about the sun being disobedient or the moon being disobedient to the Imam. That today they want to do something which they never used to do yesterday. The sun and the moon are looking at us to behave well and start doing our obligations and duties towards the Imam. The day we start doing our obligations and duties towards the Imam, the day that the ummah of the Imam is ready to embrace, we will find the sun and the moon also having their eclipse. So it's always on the reverse side. The sun and the moon are actually looking towards us. Let us, as human beings, let us stop looking towards the sun and the moon. Instead of we looking towards the signs, because the signs are waiting towards and looking towards us, waiting for us to do our job, our side of the job, which is still undone. There's nothing that is undone from their side. It's because of lack of the entire concepts. Some people have the whole concepts upside down in their minds. And that's because the source of information for lots of people in our communities is, unfortunately, this member only. Because we don't have the time to read books, which we were supposed to read books of the Quran and Ahlul Bayt Salam's teachings, but we don't have time. We don't spare time to read the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt the way we were supposed to do. So the only prime source for our information is this mimbar. And whatever kind of people are going to sit over the mimbar, that is going to determine the entire extent of our knowledge. And now we can understand why our knowledge is at that level, where it belongs. It's because of the source of knowledge was, in so many cases, incorrect, incompetent, improper, and that's why we find those deviations and misconceptions and problems, practical problems in our everyday lives. So we find that Sa'd ibn Abdullah al-Ash'ari al-Qummi and Ahmad ibn Ishaq al-Qummi, Salawullahi alayhima, these two great personalities. Again, I always praise and mention in my speeches about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, talking about I always praise the people of Qum, because they do deserve a lot of praise, because they have been praised by the Ahlul Bayt. When Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that Al-Qumiyun la yuhasabun, the people of Qum will not be held accountable on the Day of Judgment. Lawla Al-Qumiyun lam darasat atharu al-haq. If the people of Qum were not there, the athar and signs of haq would have been destroyed. So we understand that athar of haq, according to the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, are surviving on earth because of some of the people of Qum. Isn't that the case? Isn't that the meaning? لولا القميون لاندرس آثار الحق. If the Qummi people were not around on earth, Haq would have been gone. We must understand these teachings so that we understand the value and what they have done, their jobs, their services, so that we try to follow suit, we follow their footsteps, and we get prepared. That's, and Tazar is all about us, not about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam has nothing, no fault in his character. He has no shortfall in him. The shortfalls belong to us. He has nothing to improve. You know, some people, I go to different centers, communities, I found they're talking to Imam alayhi salam, you know, Allahumma ajjal fi farj mawlana sahib al-zaman, you know, addressing the Imam after the prayers in a way as if Imam, na'uzu billah, is kind of not listening to us or is stubborn or something, that he is not, you know, ready to appear. It's not the matter of Imam, you know, not ready to appear, he's always ready. Because he's always obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the fullest. He's already ready to receive the command of Allah, and whenever he receives the command, he would obey. It's Allah who is taking care of our behaviors and supervising our behaviors, and how much do we really deserve to get an imam, because 11 of our imams are now already shaheed. 124,000 prophets have passed away already. They did their job, the best of their jobs. 11 of the imam became shaheed. Now we have the Khatamul Awsiya. We have the seal of all the deputies, who is the waris of every prophet, starting from Hazrat Adam, still the Khatamul Mursaleen. And also the deputy of all the imams, the waris and inheritor of every imam. So everyone is waiting for him. And so we can say, if we wish, that everyone is waiting for that time when the people are prepared to embrace the Imam of their time. Everyone is waiting for that moment when the wisdom of Allah is there for this job to be executed. So when we find that Sa'd ibn Abdullah al-Qummi and Ahmad ibn Ishaq al-Qummi, these two great personalities, they visited, they were used to live in Qom. They, Ahmad ibn Ishaq is the wakil of Imam Askari alayhi salam. And so they visited Imam Askari alayhi salam, who used to live in Samarra. And Imam said, bring those things that the people of Qom have sent for us. I mean, this is the wakil, he has brought things, money, and some other things that the people have sent for the Imam of the time. And Imam Mahdi al-Islam was a 3-year-old baby sitting on the thigh of his father. And Imam Askari said, bring those things that the people of Qum have sent, so that my son Mahdi can receive that. And Sa'd ibn Abdullah al-Qummi, he moved forward, he brought those bags in which they have brought us amanat and money and of Qums and everything for the Imam of their time. And Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, a 3-year-old boy, he said to his father, is it okay that the son, that the hand of your son, the clean hand of your son, touches the najis amwal, the najis wealth? Imam Askari said to him, bring the money close to him so that my son can distinguish between what is tahir and what is najis. And they brought the bag, and Imam Mahdi, 3-year-old boy, is now dealing with the whole situation. He said, this bag has this much amount of money, and one of the dinars in that bag is haram. And the sign of that dinar is the one, this has been produced in the mint on the city of Ray, which is close to Tehran. That's the sign of which najis, that haram dinar. And the reason why this dinar is haram Imam Mehdi said that the owner of this money, you know, this the person, what he did, he took, you know, one, and you know, in Urdu, like we say, man. We cannot translate that kind of measure in English, you know. Ek man or chothai, ek chothai man. Ek man or ek chothai man. And it's sawa man wool. One man and one fourth of it. This, a person took this much amount of wool to a tailor. In old days, they used to make dresses of woolen dresses, you know, dresses out of wool. He took it to the tailor to weave a dress for him with this wool, this much amount of wool. And what happened is that after a while, when he went to the tailor to get his dress, the tailor said, well, I could not make your dress because somebody came, a thief came to my shop, and basically he looted everything that was available in the store. Everything is gone. Said, okay, you got to pay me back. And the owner of the store, he said, well, I'm ready to pay you back. And this guy, instead of taking exactly the amount that was stolen, Imam Mehdi says, he took one quarter of the man extra wool from him. One quarter of the man extra than his own amount. And the quality of wool that he gave to the person was a lower quality, and the quality of wool that he received forcibly, that he received from this tailor, was of a higher quality. We are talking about how money becomes najis and haram in the eyes of Imam Mehdi alayhi salam. Let's be careful. And what happened is that Imam Mehdi is explaining that he took this high quality wool to another tailor to weave his dress, and then he went to that tailor. After the dress got woven, he took it and he sold it in the market, and this money, this coin, belongs from that extra money that he gained out of selling the dress from that wool which did not belong to him. So this dinar, that one dinar is najis. That one dinar is haram. Imam is not ready to touch that dinar with his hands. What to talk if we have the whole business run with the haram money? The entire business. Yesterday, last night, I was talking about the concept of taswil in Islam. How does the process, exactly gradual process, step by step, how exactly a person ends up in doing a sin? We can never do a sin as long as we have our aql surviving in its pure form, untainted, unimpaired, and our fitrat unimpaired. So it has to be covered up, and the shaitan or our desires, what they do, they present our sin in a decorated, beautified, nice looking form in front of our aql and intellect and reasoning in order to deceive our aql, and that's how we get fooled and we end up into committing the sin. This is exactly what we call as taswil in ilmul akhlaq and tazyeen of su. The evil is presented in a muzayyan, in a nice looking beautiful form by the nafs. So we do plenty of ta'wilat for harams in our lives, and make variety of ways, variety of kinds of harams that we earn, you know, whether it belongs to the interest money, you know, interest is also haram in Islam, of course. And the Prophet has said, you know, it's worse than 36 zina. Interest money is worse than 36 zina. So that's also another haram. Usurping of inheritance, that some people take inheritance from their fathers, their ancestors, their parents, but they fail to distribute it according to the Islamic and Quranic law of distribution of inheritance among all the inheritors. So this is also haram. Any kind of haram that we have in our money, whether this money itself has been earned from a haram source, or the thing that we consume, that thing itself is najis or haram, or usurped. And then he said the second bag has 50 dinars, and all 50 of them are najis or haram. What happened is that the owner of this money, he had a farm. Imam Mahdi al-Islam is explaining the whole hadith. The owner of this money, he had a farm. And at the time when he was paying to those laborers who used to work at his farm, in old days what they used to do, you know, they used to, instead of paying the money, they used to pay the crop to the laborers, like wheat, gandum, whatever, as the ujrat. So when the time of payment arrived, this guy, when he was weighing the crop to pay to the laborers working on his farmland, he didn't weigh it properly, and he was weighing his side with more weight and other side with a lesser weight, so that he ends up in paying less amount of crop to the laborers. So this entire 50 dinars belong to those laborers. Take it back to them. And I tell him, give it to those laborers who used to work on your farm. It's their money. The Imam doesn't need that kind of money. Usurping the money from other people and giving khums out of it, sending it to the Imam as if we can, na'uzu billah, fool the Imam of our time, we are fooling ourselves. And we think that when we give the khums money, we are cleaning the money, although the money has been earned, may have been earned from haram. If you make money from haram, no matter how many times you give the khums out of it, it can never be clean. The whole money has to be returned to the owner. And besides, it's not just the cleaning of the money. It's actually cleaning of our souls. Because love of money is nothing but the najasat of our souls. Did Imam Ali al-Islam say that al-fisqu najasatun fil hima wa kalabun fil tabi'a? Fisq and haram is actually the najasat of the irada of a person. Whenever you want to do, you have the will, the irada to do a haram which Allah has prohibited, actually there's a najasat in the irada of that person, in the will of that person. Will is there in the soul. We make a will first, we do the niyat, and then we commit the action. So this kind of person has a najasat in his will. Najasat in his soul, in other words. And that's why we end up in doing this. So, all the money is najis, has to be returned back. And besides, in Islam, the concept of infaq itself belongs to tayyibat. Quran has said, anfiqu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. That means spend, do the infaq, give away from the tayyib money that we have provided to you. Not from the najis money. Najis money doesn't have no infaq. Not from the haram money that I usurp money from one side and I try to give, you know, to other persons. And we find that after that, Imam Askari alayhi salam said to give me that dress that old lady has sent for me. There was an old lady in Qum who had sent a dress as gift for Imam Askari alayhi salam. So Imam demanded that, give me that dress. So we understand that dress was of course made from halal. Our Imams love the halal money. If we want to get close to the Imam, we need to have everything in our house halal. Everything in our house jaiz. I go to certain houses when I travel in different cities, I find a pack of CDs, of songs, sitting in the living room. It's easy for us, brothers and sisters, to claim that we love Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, but our claims have to be verified with our actions. We need to make our gatherings, our houses, our celebrations, our birthdays, our marriages, all the ceremonies that we hold in a way that is acceptable to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Some people are very religious, but when they end up doing their marriage, they say, oh, let's just keep this time, you know, separate. Let us do something that we wish to do at the time of marriage. Let us keep it separate. And then we end up into all those problems in our lives, all those family issues that happen because of one of the major reasons is our own faults. Because the marriages don't have barakat. Because barakat has to be invited. How does the barakat comes in our life? The angels have to come to bring the barakat. When we are doing things that the angels don't like, why would they come into our gatherings? Why should they come into our houses? Why would the Ahlul Bayt come in these kinds of gatherings? So we find that then Imam Askari said to him that ask those questions that you have in your mind. And now Sa'd ibn Abdullah started asking his questions from Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, that the Sunni brothers say that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Hazrat Musa, فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى, take off your shoes because you are in the sacred valley of Tuwa. So the reason why it was said was Prophet Musa was wearing the na'lain, the slippers which were made from leather of a dead animal. And not just leather. That is why in Quran Allah has commanded Prophet Musa to take it off. And Imam Mahdi alayhi salam replied, no, this is wrong. I mean, you are basically, this is slander towards a prophet, that you are relating something which is a lie, which is a jahl about the prophet actually. That's what he said. I mean, Prophet Musa did not know that this is the slippers that he is wearing is made of najis leather. That's not the case. He said when he went to the Wadi al-Muqaddas, to the sacred valley, he claimed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is no love in my heart except your love. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept any other love other than His.